Or maybe look into the recommendations that would be able to assist. FTDG, I've seen a lot of new faces. For the sake of the new faces, I'll just introduce honorable members here. On my right, honorable Ramataka. And then going to my left, up to the end, we've got Honorable Panza, we've got Honorable Kiari, we've got Honorable Musinga. The other honorable members are still out doing some few errands. As and when they join us, we will be able to inform you who these honorable members are. And then we will proceed. We will be giving the department time to talk to your reports. We will ask questions and get some answers or have discussions about that. But what I want to impress upon yourself is I think as a department, we have to take cognizance of the fact that things are not right. We have several protests. We have had buses on strike. We have had freight, some locating the roads, national roads in the country. And the masterpiece is on a daily basis trains being banned. And I think as this leadership, it becomes quite critical that you focus and say, how best can we take this department out of this precarious situation that it finds itself in? How best can we make sure that the president is going international to go and do investors? We are in our own little way contributing towards the agenda of money, the humanity, and be able to do the right things. The right moment, contribute towards growing the economy of the public so that we can be able to create jobs. Very pertinent is we can't expect the president to go and say, come invest, and investors on arrival, they're met by the accidents which are happening, the derailment, are happening, the protests by the taxi industry. This morning I was so disgusted. Listening to SASM, those people who are sending learners to school in the Northern Cape, they want salary increase from government. They come on. Are we a welfareist institution as government? How do they take what increase? We have been serving the children for the past 5 years, they ignored it. What does the concept of serving the children say? Because everybody is striving, including those who including Abomalume now, they must be able to get it right. And I was like, how this HOG of the Department of Basic education can just cancel those tenders, go and look for other women because they are there waiting. But these are the things that you come across. We're not anxious that we must, in our own little corners, in our own little space and ways, be able to contribute towards a better public of South Africa. which would contribute towards a better Africa and a better world. Having said that, you are all heartily welcome. FTDG, I'm going to request that before you make a presentation, you introduce your team so that we can be able to know who are we talking to, and even when we meet them on the street. Deny the public security. Anyway, you are held accountable. As long as I know, and you see, this is what we're doing, hold you accountable. When I can start at Taha, it's Sunday, for us, 24/7, as public representative. Right on, TDG.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. Again, an opportunity afforded to us. Thank you. We will take, okay, I would like them to introduce themselves. I know that very much. But I just want to, okay. Uthlani Kankulu, Manishuto, Honorable. Sir, on our far left is Lulu Sizani. Coming from, she's our acting COO, the former advisor to the minister on this one matter. Second to her is Dr. Tishi. Dr. Tishi is our new governance person to look into the oversight issues of the department, especially looking into the entity or person. We are just building that unit, so that's your tradition. The lady there is Tuli Khadebe. Tuli Khadebe is the special advisor to the minister, the new special advisor to the minister. There is Bongi Mwazi, right there. Bonge is the acting chief of audit, internal audit in the Department of Transport. Next to her is Mpuluke Makari. Mpuluke Makari is the acting. I know Chapter was shy, but you want to expand that? So Mpuluke Makari is our acting EDG Integrated Transport Planning, ICT. Then, next to him is Osamlobo Kandongoshe, who is the spokesperson of the minister in the Department of Transport, Ishwa is me. Next to me, Mr. Ray, OJP, Uyandi Julius. It's the reason why Mr. Ray Transport Department, Mr. Brand. So that is John DeVilliers, Jan DeVilliers. Next to him is Nuru Diokla Jude, ex-team DDG Merit. Ex-team DDG Merit. Next to Tunduli is a substantive DDG public transport. Hoshiande from Ashesha. Le Kamara Yana. Matava Kamukunya. Next to him is the acting chief director strategic planning. Musa Raman. Musa Raman is acting in a position where he was occupied by the late so that is a position he was working very closely with Mary, so he's doing very well. Next to us is our money man. That is where we count our money in the cash item. Mr. Letoir, Colin Letoir. Then further, let's start with the honorable member, Prasanth Mohan. Prasanth Mohan is the acting, as another acting honorable member, DDG Road Transport. DDG Acting Avenue Road Transport. On my right is Tibakwa Sipo. Yes, on my right hand side, Sipo Tibakwa. So, members, they know him very well. I think that is. Oh, my name is Chris Labis. Sorry, I forgot. My name is Chris Labis. Those who are able to pronounce it in full is Chris Labis. I'm a substantive DDG Road Transport, but now active teacher. We're all, both of us, so 50%, 70% is active. So that's what we are. Thank you very much.
Continue.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Our apology for our minister. He's still held up in the Cabinet Committee, but we have indicated that we are starting at 1:30. So we want to believe that he is going to be joining us very shortly. Having said that, this is our presentation. The annual report presentation 2017-18 financial year. We are going to be taking 10 honorable members, you know, even when we do the presentation. We have shared responsibility as we continue. We want to highlight the background, overall performance, the program, human resources, the governance issues and areas improving, needing some improvement that has been identified, then we look into the financial information. This is what we are saying, non-financial and financial results, as well as the organization has the capability to deliver on policy objectives. Therefore, to this, once again, I know that members have received this document when it took time on the 28th of September was sent from our offices. The status report on the transport center, which is called the power program,
outreach campaigns were enacted focusing mainly on gender, disability, as well as youth and women and children. And the HIV strategic framework monitoring report of 2017-18 and the draft HIV implementation plan of 18-19 was finalized and submitted to the Department of Public Services and Administration. And the annual monitoring report on the implementation of action plans to address voting findings also was developed. We are working very closely with the Auditor General, as I said earlier on in their presentation, turning a corner somewhere. So annual monitoring report on the risk determination and development, also tabled at the Development Risk Management Committee. This one is also our priority because both the general highlight and this one is very, very strong. On our program two, which is ICT, the performance monitoring framework was developed and performance monitoring exercise conducted on a total of 10 NetMap accounts by pilot projects. When we engage on this one further, Makari will take us through this one to find out exactly where he is. The white paper on the national transport policy also and presented to the asset cluster on the 15th of March 2018 was subsequently approved to be submitted to cabinet and sent to cabinet. And the regional transport market access strategy stakeholder input has been incorporated from our relevant entities in the transport sector, and the draft therefore of the market access strategy has been finalized. Again, the third, which has been going to be a panacea for the for everything that is going to be happening, that needs regulation in terms of tariff determination and adjustment. The green transport strategy is submitted to the regulatory council and subsequent approval for submission. On rail transport, the national rail policy, white paper thereof, has been presented to the asset cluster, and the policy subsequently approved for submission to cable. So this is now en route to cable. An immigration plan for the transfer of the interim rail economic regulator to the single transport economic regulator has now been approved. We want to merge these two, because when we went to the to cable, we were asked by cabinet that we need to prioritize that so that everything I just talk about, tariff determination and regulation of economy, pricing and stuff, and we need to be one regulation there. So that is what we are doing here right now. And the MOU we have developed between the DOC and the for the implementation of the public sector participation framework on the branch line submitted to ministerial approval. So this one is a route for our ministers to have a look. And we are planning to have a meeting with DPE, the Public Enterprises Ministry, to discuss this, because we still believe that the branch line across the country can be utilized or revitalized so that we can ease off pressure from our road network. And some of the cargo can be on a branch line on the rail system. So the railway safety bill has been submitted to present to asset cluster and subsequently approved for submission to cabinet. Program 4 is road. The white paper road policy was submitted to present to asset cluster on the 15th of March this year and approved for submission for cabinet. It's a road to cabinet as we speak. And the national road safety strategy was approved by cabinet. Now it's a blueprint for everyone to look into. This has been now rolled out in all levels or spheres of government as well as we speak. And the implementation of the program for summer song is still continuing. The monitoring thereof is taking place. We are still looking into the input that has been gathered through the public participation to conclude our access road development plan, which is quite a priority. And the minister said we must do the this prioritize to maximize job through labor intensive. So this is what we're this access road development plan, this plan is very important for that. The anti-fraud corruption is now being finalized, the input has been consolidated across the country. Here we are dealing mainly with the fraudulent issuance of the driving licenses at the DFCC. It's focusing on that and also to root out the corruption, because that is where the root cause of accidents in our road. People just get driving licenses here, they don't know how to drive.
So we are dealing with the problem issue that's happening. On the civil aviation side, civil aviation amendment is under the DME for for the CAS certification, and then the FS CAS has been adopted and approved by 2017. And this draft regulation for the airport company and 18 years amendment bills have been developed. They are now approach to cabinet. The cabinet committee is looking into that today. The drafted amendment bill submitted to DPMCO for the CS. Initial CS, which is the first step towards obtaining a certification on the CS, and the approval thereof has been approved by the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation. So the initial aviation transformation strategy. And the strategy for approval approved for submission to cabinet after the CS certificate has been approved, has been given to us for this one to move ahead, transformation strategy on the national aviation. This one we want to say this, Honorable Chairperson, that this sector is not transformed. So we are wanting to make sure that it talks the issues of transformation within the sector, and even the pilots, you can see the pilots are still not transformed in terms of the democracy of the country. So I'm making sure that this strategy addresses those kinds of shortcomings that we have before. Every time transport saying also not transformed, we're making sure that it talks to the issues. So this comprehensive welcome transport strategy was approved in March 2017 by Cabinet. Assessment report on operation practice and infrastructure projects, the second commercial port is now developed. And the 2020 World Maritime Day Project Commission was approved for submission to cabinet. So we want to have to hold a parallel session on the 2020 maritime day so that we can also showcase what we are doing on the maritime transport issues as one of the priorities that we need to do under Operation Party. This is public transport. The integrated public transport network plan have been finalized for the two districts, municipalities, Bojanari in Northwest, and also the Oatamba district municipalities. So these are plans that we target to achieve in this financial initiative in this municipality that we finalized now. The taxi retail program, the reviews thereof, and the redesign are being looked into and are developed by our public transport units together with the municipalities that are affected. And the framework for the integration of the integrated public transport general plan is also in the pipeline, is being developed to look into how as a country we are going to be having a framework for a model to implement the integrated public transport and to fund public transport moving forward. The construction and operation of the IPTN in different cities monitors to be bilateral project meeting. We are working very closely with the provinces on this one, as well as the municipalities that are recipients of our grant. They are regular performance assessment visits that we normally conduct, insofar as this is going to make sure that the monitoring and the oversight thereof is present. The stakeholder inputs incorporated into the draft transport appeal tribunal amendment bill. This bill is very important because we would like to have a facility where the provinces or municipalities can come and lodge their appeal to us in terms of the transport related matters, especially in the provinces, the PREs, the provincial regulatory entities, and the structures like that in different levels of government to come and appeal to us so that we can adjudicate effectively. So, notable challenges as power ties and for remedial action. If we zoom into the ICT issue, you see that the progress and transform forum, the road freight strategy implemented was not achieved, was not developed as targeted. This is a road freight strategy which is part of the net map. So we actually have to deal with this as one of the chapters of the net map. So this one has not gone up very well. There were some other issues in terms of the consultation that in the provinces where we had a little bit of some standoff between ourselves and the provinces. So, but we want to go back and reprioritize in this financial year so that if we can achieve this one. It's very important because this great strategic strategy, road freight strategy, is going to encourage cargo from our road network to the rail network. So that is very important that we need to do that. It's linked to the identification and revitalization of the branch lines that I spoke about. The rail one, the draft bill, national rail bill, was not submitted to the clusters as planned. There were some other challenges with our sister department in terms of agreeing on the way forward on this. Our rail men is working very tirelessly around it so that it gets back to it on track, so that we can look into it and finalize it. It's quite an important bill that we must have. On the maritime side, the merchant shipping bill was developed and first stakeholder consultations commenced. However, the bill was not submitted to cabinet. These are the issues of the SFF and the TIA, the impact assessment that were still not submitted. We did not get the final TIA certificate. That is why we did not see the light. That's the only one that is now remaining. But BPME and our friends are working very hard to make sure that it's back on track, this one. That is the only one that we are responding to. On the human resource side, you see that 58 items were appointed. And Air Force of Staff Establishment is not exceeding DPSA factor of 5%. So this one will build very well. And the staff of 377 trained and 60 new vessels that were awarded in the period under review. So you can see that we are also trying to promote, especially we are focused on the safety here within the civilian transport sector, in making sure that we prioritize those students or those people who need to be looked into in terms of power. We also work very closely with universities, institutions of higher learning, with different chairs that we have, like your Stellenbosch and your university in Zambia. We wanted to also highlight on the environment activities there, especially focusing on the SMS. We still have a problem there. Our target of 50% is not yet there. We are 38% as we speak, and the disability issues, we are very much addressing that one. As you can see, we have exceeded the target. But on the SMS level, that is where we are still lacking. But other than that, you can see on other levels, from level 12 and below, we have exceeded those levels. But we are focused on the strategic management data that we need to look at. So that is where we are now. On the governance issues, I just want to highlight a few things. That the risk management policy and the strategies to implement that as a plan, we that has been now canvassed and debated with among ourselves and now has been approved. And the department has conducted an annual risk assessment in order to determine the effectiveness of its risk management strategies. And the risk management committee will continuously hold meetings to make sure that our risks are mitigated accordingly. Labor relations issues. I just wanted to look into this. The misconduct and disciplinary hearings, we will touch on that, gave a number. Six hearings, and these are in the process of being finalized, some of them. Previously, we had quite a number of them, but we are slowly getting there to resolve all of them. We don't want people to go and sit at home for so many years. We want now to shorten the process of finalizing these grievances so that people can come back and go to work or they get dismissed. They continuously launch grievances which we are looking into. So you can also look at precautionary suspensions. But if this life says to us, we do not want to see what has been happening in the past, where people will be suspended for a number of years, 60 days, we must conclude, and then failure to reach, I think we need to call the people back to the service. I think we want to be very resolute in terms of this one and deal with them. We do have now the capacity to do it. We do have the acting who is very competent in terms of this legislative prescripts, in terms of the DPSA and the regulations thereof. The conflict of interest, I wanted just to look into this. that we are very sensitive in this. Financial disclosure, 100% compliance is there. All managers here have checked. We're looking into that. We've submitted also to DPSA so that everyone is looking is compliant in terms of the. We want to minimize also the conflict in terms of the supply chain issues. That is why we look at 100% of new appointees were introduced into the department and also the code of conduct as to how the public servant should behave and have a plan in all responsibilities assigned to them. And the violation of the code of conduct in terms of discipline also that is very important. In the 2016-17 financial year, the audit findings plan there to deal with it has been developed and is monitored quarterly. Remember, the auditor general also referred to this, that they are working very closely with us, although there are others know, response sometimes of the management, the managers in our rank to deal with this issue. But we want to say to the committee here that the plan is there now to address the audit findings. And then we are getting that. We implement the plan according together with the Auditor General of Pharmacy. Okay. So I think that is the main one which I wanted just to say there. All that is mainly on the audit committee and the issues that are speaking to them. The areas that have been identified, not unless the committee will have some questions on that, but in as far as we're concerned, you can see that they are there in the oversight issues that we spoke about earlier on, the transversal indicators, as well as looking into how we are going to be looking into the oversight and the provinces and the standardization of our plans moving forward. This is continuation of areas of improvement that has been identified. I would like to the committee, make honorable members, if ever there are questions, maybe to raise there, because yes, of course, it was wanted to the committee sometimes. We can always address whatever there are challenges. Can I ask our CFO, honorable chairperson and members, to please take us through the financial information, and then we'll end our presentation, and then we'll make some questions for further guidance. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Members, my name is Mukulwan. Here, AGL already presented on our financials. My just to clarify a few points. We'll go through the report of the Auditor General. We'll then go through the report of the Accounting Officer, focus on financial information, and authorize the place of waste expenditure, sponsorships, deviation and expansion, and the event of that is important to it. And the statement of financial performance and expenditure breakdown, which is a major project, and end up with a statement of financial performance followed by the most valuable financial statements. Our audit report is unqualified. There are things of matter, you know, the restatement of corresponding figures, mainly due to the energy assets that were valued, and some were taken on impairment of investments. Actions to be taken with ports, energy assets to be transferred, which we did in the previous financial year. And the financial statements will be reviewed before the submission of the audit. The next slide, 35, talks to hearing the expenditure. There were two cases under investigation. And approval is requested when a history records were obtained. In this case, what has been found is that in some cases, when records were not obtained, we did not seek the necessary approval and sign off from the relevant authority, and that was found to be irregular. Action to be taken. We are going to be investigating. Some of these are still in progress, and finalize the steps and recover and control the right of should any need arise. On the issue of predetermined objectives, we have got a clean audit there. There is no material findings that are identified on any disclosures of liability of government information for policy agenda. So, Chair, we, in this regard, on both cases of financial funds and on the predetermined objectives of the city. On annual financial statement, material items needed to be channeled as a payment, and we made corrections there. What happened is that we over-impaired one of our investments, and that showed a negative balance on assets, which was a problem, but that was corrected before the financials were concluded, before the audit was concluded. Procurement and contract management, with the service of procurement, are presented in quite price attention, whereas I think the deviations were not approved. So this is the deviation. We have four internal investigations that are in progress, pertaining to this reflex nature and expected terms of the national treasury framework on the expenditure. Slide number 37 talks to the overview of the Department of Revenue. Here we just record what we have received. We estimated 268 on interest and dividends, price of land. We received, actually collected 256. You'll see that sale of the services. We piloted a headwind of 1.2 million, we received 8. But in total, the actual amount collected was 290. 290 million collected. The next slide, which is slide number 38, looks at the overview of financial report for the program expenditure. The most important part here would be the amount of under expenditure of 4.8 billion, so that was withheld from process capital expenditure due to non spending, and the 248 million public transport that was mainly due to taxes kept. So in total, we have underspent by 5.1 billion rands. The next slide is slide 39 that talks about program expenditures and administration. We just give you a sense of what the underspending is on the 7.8 million compensation of employees in the area. Intermediate transport training. It's about 434,000 that was received by the program, saved about 5.7 million and underspend about 1.1 of these movies. Some of these projects that we probably have to be done outside, the decision was taken that was be done internally, and therefore we saved, we had a bit of a saving there. Rail transport, and I spend this budget at 4.8 billion, which is 10 billion. is, and maybe about the country, maybe up there as well. Daughter was married in about 16 million that we had a saving on due to projects that were completed in house, and about 4 million in compensation of employees. Federalization of the 4 million compensation of employees.
Yeah.
unauthorized put as a wasteful expenditure. 3 things amounting to about 1 million, with 10 million expenditure in the financial year. 2 are under investigation, as no quarterly quotation were obtained in 2 cases, and there was no approval obtained for the recourse in 1 case. And 4 cases amounting to 1.3 billion were written off during the year, and this was requested to court. So much more of this comes from the unauthorized part, which was the images, which we had to leave as we had to be careful because we couldn't work in the court order. Of the remaining 9 cases, the disciplinary were taken in 4. One case we could not initiate, disciplinary case because the responsible employer had to withdraw. The 2 disciplinary cases have not yet been taken, and 2 cases are still under investigation. The next slide just gives you a sense of the sponsorship, keeps the information received in financial statements, and by lecture 1G. You will see there that much more information received was from CHITA for funding of learners and interns, and the rest were received in kind, and we received a total of about 1.7 million. The next slide, 53, talks about deviations received from National Treasury. We do apply for deviations from time to time if we are unable, in terms of section 16A, 6.4, where we do go to the National Treasury and to ask for deviation, and we put the deviation in the presence thereof. The next slide is expansion received from National Treasury. You see evaluation of United assets, the bigger one, 1.3 million. Now the Texas credit is only 66 million, and followed by 2.5 million of the pilot global competitiveness of reducing transport costs in addition to maritime, and of course the valuation of United assets. The next slide then deals with events that happened after the 14th date. We have a commitment of about 10.94 million in the next 5 years for better rentals for the state, as we do it from time to time. And the next slide just gives the statement of financial performance. As you know it, what you see is that the annual appropriation of 59 billion, and you see we transferred about 53.6 of that, and we had a surplus for the year of about 5.4 billion. As we said, much more of this comes from the PRASA non-spending of capital. Expenditure breakdown in terms of transfer payments. Usually PRASA is on top. For this year they are not, because we have about 4.8 billion there. So the biggest is in Sandra with 15.9 billion, followed by PRASA at 14.4 billion, provincial road maintenance grants at 10.7 billion, public transport network grants at 6.1 billion, and public transport operations grants at 5.7 billion, and the others will be shown in the next slide, which is about 474 million. The breakdown of that is given the take recap at 233, RTMC 194, rural road asset management 97, and you see the railway safety regulator at 73, and foreign organizations about 84. The smallest ones in the next slide, about 90 million. You see 22 million is going to port regulator, civil aviation authority at 22, Archia at 17, other receivers at 18, and 18 from SAMHSA. About 18 thereof. Product transfer payment and 8.2% of expenditure to the value of 58.6 billion. The next slide just gives you in terms of expenditure classification. Goods and services, 5.1, compensation of employees, 5.7, 15 million on expenditure capital assets. This is actually the amount that comes into the department in the main. And it's broken down into those major projects in slide 51. Majority of the projects in Texas Credit Administration account 20, and watch keeping services as 57. The next slide is the statement of financial position. This is where our assets and activities sit. In the main, total assets, 11 billion in this financial year. Total liabilities at about 5.1. The next slide is just an explanation of what happened. Unauthorized expenditure remained at 1.3 because of the initial measures of operation. Cash and cash equivalent amounted to 3.7 billion compared to 1.3 billion main transfer that was not taken out, which was the 4.8 billion. And the prepayment in advance was 2.8 million, including the 45.4 million paid in advance for state in Texas. And the receivables of 3.4 million, 2.1 million to government institutions. The next slide is just the notes, bigger items. And the next slide also talks to issues of consultants. You would see that it has decreased from 443 to 4 million. And infrastructure and training services as well as 46. Legal services as well as reduced to about 9 from 19, and we have increased in inventories. Major division of expenditure in goods and services compared to 16-17, see operating this has increased to 18, and this is due to invoices that came late. Venues and facilities have decreased by about half thereof. The next other notes, which just deals with debt return off, which include 447 unsuccessful litigation, and impairment and investment of 4.2 billion of net asset value of price that is less than the cost of the investment. That we want to highlight there. Continued liability includes things of extra work on the Tata Airport of about 47.1 million. We are in court with the So note 22 is the accrual which includes 9.2 million related with the for all provinces information contract, 8.1 million for work done, and I will be using the address and 4.8 million for services. So that will be all, Chair, and we'll take any questions that members of the Chair may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Welcome. We are aware that you will not be staying here with us. So we happily welcome you, Honorable members, there we are. Honorable Musinga. Honorable Tibande, Honorable Bagna, and Honorable Namantaka, let me start from the extreme. What we're doing in the morning will allow people to speak and then we'll all be able to do like that. So I don't know if we can talk about the other issues.
Thank you, Chair, and let me just acknowledge the Minister as well. First, I hear you fired the RSR Chairman of the Board.
Fired?
Yes, that's what I heard.
No, I'm not
sure. Maybe it's another Minister these days, you never know. thank you, for the presentation. While I'm busy with the minister, Minister, in the annual report, you referred to DOT receiving a clean audit, whereas this morning, in our engagement with the Auditor General, they said it's unqualified with findings. So I'm a bit confused now. You know, what the situation is, although it's challenging in terms of audit finding classifications, but I think the term is quite clear in terms of the definition around that. So if we could just clarify that. What I'm going to use a phrase which my colleague normally uses, what bothers me, is that, you know, you've achieved 32 out of the 35 targets. But in having 4 years experience in this committee and looking back at what we normally hear and what gets reported to us, you know, having achieved 32 out of the 35 findings, as the minister also alludes in his remarks in the audit report, is a good result. But then if we talk to the Attorney General and we look at the actual entity's performances, you know, there's a misalignment in terms of what is used as targets and which of those relate to performance outcomes. Because again, referring to the 14 entities that you have a responsibility over, in terms of the 2016-17 audit outcome, we've had 43 clean audits, and this year we've only seen 21%. None of your 32 out of 35 targets are aligned to making sure that more of these entities achieve clean audits. So the target setting is very conveniently designed and orientated towards achievable targets, opposed to getting better results and opposed to performance standard achievement of the other of the 14 entities. Also, irregular expenditure, same thing, no findings with compliance, on compliance with legislation. Last year 43%, this year 21%. In general, what was reported this morning is a regression. It's going backwards, it's not going forward in terms of the 14 entities. In fact, statements are made that the transport as a department with responsibility over the 14 entities is becoming more and more of a fiscal risk, which is a serious allegation, which calls for extreme intervention, extreme financial intervention with measures and action steps. And I want to refer to a couple of these elements, these aspects. In rail, there's an under expenditure of, 4.8 billion, and remarks of a consistent low expenditure, civil aviation under expenditure of 5 billion, maritime under expenditure of 7.6 billion, public enterprise 5 billion. Road 4 million, and this is particularly under the heading and category of compensation to employees, whereas we constantly, over the 4 years, have spoken of vacancies, core competencies which we lack in the entities that need to be filled. Yet we've got it close to 30 million out of the budget on salaries which relate directly to employment and vacancies. Then, more particularly, we have irregular expenditures, the numbers are clear, but in general, to me, it's all about the alignment of target setting, the definitions, defining of target setting, which to me is not aligned towards increasing performance levels and standards of the 14 entities,
but it's conveniently designed to achieve targets and designed to be achievable targets. So it's a general remark, because in a way one is disappointed as a member of this committee to then in the fourth year you know, be in this situation. Surely we would have wanted to be in a situation where, you know, there's been an increase of performance, better performance, etc., etc. Although all reports always sound good, you know, I'm disappointed at this stage, looking back from, you know, when one started 4 years ago. And I want to be more specific than just leave you with that remark. If we look at irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure, the question arises, if you work through the report, the question arises, how, what does the department do around this? So I'm trying to find strategy and financial management effect that would address waste, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. And then immediately section 81 to 86 of the PFMA comes up around, you know, what has happened in the past 4 years, which we've heard, which has been reported here. So what does the department do? Because I know the people, they will act to this. I'm talking of financial misconduct, business issues, and with officials, and, you know, criminal incidents that happened, which were reported. What is the department doing around all of these things? Then I noticed on page 326 of the report, 607 million irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure, of which nothing was recovered. If you could reply to that, please. It's on page 326. 607 million, nothing recovered of that. I also noticed that there's a 78 million rand increase from 2016-17 to 2017-18. Staying with irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure on page 337. There's an increase from 843 million to 1.6 billion between 16-17 to 17-18, which is a 753 million rand increase on page 337. How is that possible? Also referring on page 337, I see you might still be on 326, on page 337 of the annual report. The opening balance difference there. Then on page 338, in terms of disciplinary steps, I noticed that out of 69 cases, nothing was recovered. Is there ever an intent to recover any of this money? And again I ask you, why isn't there a KPI orientated towards these aspects that really would make a difference and give one a different impression of the seriousness and intent which DOT has in bringing in more financial discipline and a serious governance conduct in terms of managing the financial affairs? Then, maybe somewhat in the lighter note, on page 553, there's something that alludes to fruitless and wasteful expenditure incorrectly captured. That's on page 353. And I'm just asking myself, how could you incorrectly capture a fruitless and wasteful expenditure? And if you could just explain that to me, I've never seen that before. And then on the same page, 353, a duplicated fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So surely the amount was doubled somewhere. So I don't know how these things work. I've never come across something like this. But on a serious note again, I'm disappointed to, in the past 4 years, have seen numerous reports of deliberate misconduct
and then to see that there's been a 0 out of 69 recovery of this wealth, whereas in other places in the report there's all sorts of reason of processes underway. One specific remark that I can refer you to under the recommendations, which is actually coming from this committee, that there is certain processes underway in terms of consequence management. But then if you look at the actual numbers in the balance sheets and so on, where you would find verification of what's written in text, and I come across these things, so that's at least one of the empty, I must say. So thank you, Chair, that's all from me.
How often are you interacting with this? Because this is not the first time you have asked this. And I'm here because the minister is here in terms of Rebecca. Minister, no matter the department has received the input, but how do you justify it with his acting things? We even made some recommendations sometimes ago that impossible. Why the department doesn't maybe start internal process to appoint them? Because they're doing the job. Always acting and who will be responsible at the end? Because it's a Hollywood acting. And another contributing factor of acting is that of violence, which was raised by the OG, the issue of people failing to account. This is what I mean. And also, my colleague touched the issue of certain cases of the people, I mean, which the cases which, I mean, we are not having an apartment without any indication about any financial implication. Money, how much have we lost? It's very wrong to say such cases were strong outside, but without explaining whether there's any financial implication. Because we're being judged by how we use our resources. And also, Chairperson said, if you go to slide number 51 in terms of unauthorized fruitless and wasteful and illegal expenditure. May the department please explain why two instances of amounting to 78. I can say 1,284 of the project, as well as 482. Why are they treated at all? All the two cases of development expenditure amounting to 1 million. In terms of section 8.1, Romans chapter 2, of the Republic of the SSA, number 1 of 1999, requires an accounting officer effective and appropriate steps, among others, to prevent illegal activity. But I wanted to find out from the department to indicate whether they have been compliant with the section of the PFMD. And they also, Chairperson, another challenge. I don't know how many times we talk about it. How many years are we in power? I think it's 24, something like that. We spoke about transformation. But to me, today, I think it's still a shame and disgrace to find that some of the entities or some of the sections are not yet transformed. And I don't know why are you quiet about that. Because we raised it long ago about issue of transformation. And you are brave enough maybe today to record, to report to us that some of the seers in the national leadership which is not transformed. And they are not in my terms of process. Which is very fun. I thank you. expect positive results. Because it was proven, and you know, we did a serious discussion some time ago on the issue of portfolio, we thought that the portfolio committee, why did we the transport itself? And also, at the end, it posed a challenge whereby some of your entities, like AXA and SAMHSA, SAMHSA, AXA, the third one, which we mentioned this morning, of which they are increasing in a very speed. And the two, which is SAMHSA and AXA, which are facing liquidation, liquidity. What is so wrong in that regard? It seems nothing I have in your front, in front of your eyes. Are you holding your arms? Are you keeping quiet? Are you interacting with them? Are you giving guidelines to them? Or are you quiet? At the end of the time, they will come to us. Then, as Chairperson, the issue of the report. You know, I was checking something, maybe I was needed to pay attention. That the department was able to finalize its reports. Why some of the entities? I think they didn't submit yet a substantial collection of their reports, like RAS. Last time, RAS submitted the issue. Now, I don't think that they've already submitted their reports. Therefore, last question. If any entity didn't manage to submit in time, does it have any impact? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Let me request the NTDG and your team to respond to the issues, and then we'll take the other questions and discuss further.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. Good afternoon, Honourable Minister. What we are going to do, we are going to take tests, as I promised, to answer all the questions within our own guidance of specialization. I'll take a few. I think that the alignment of targets and the setting of targets and the performance targets, this we do in collaboration with the Department of Economic. We look at our technical indicator and we look at what the department we want to achieve within our control. We were guided by DPME to ensure that whatever we put as our target must be smart. So those are the principles of smartness that we are using when we develop our target. It must be achievable and so forth and so forth and time out. So that is how we develop our TID, the technical indicator, that will inform what we are going to be doing in that particular financial year. So that is how we develop our target. The alignment of our targets with our entities, we do have the strategic planning session with our entities so that we forge alignment between the deliverables of the department, because the Department of Transport has 12 entities. That is the entities that we use, these are the entities that we use to implement our programs, because 98 of our budget goes to the entity and the program. So for that reason, it's always important and it's prudent for us as the mother body to find that alignment between ourselves and the entities that we oversee. So that is why every year, before we submit our annual plan, our AEP, we have
a session with our entities under one roof so that we all find each other and forge that alignment in terms of delivery. So for that reason, that the alignment is there. On the issues of, I would like the CFO to talk to the issues of clean test builders, the unqualified body. He would explain that, but I mean more than I care. The issue of the vacancies, I think in the department in particular, you will see that there has been adverts that have been on paper with all the critical senior management SMS members, from directors up to the DGs. And our pool is actively involved in making sure that is prioritized through the office of our minister. So that is receiving attention. You will not see the Hollywood as members have just said now in terms of this active position. We are in the process of filling those positions so that we reduce the acting and the acting and the acting. So that one is receiving attention. The closing date of this advent was last month. Yeah, well, that was the last week of last month. So right now we are busy prioritizing the filling of those positions. I think I would also ask the CFO to talk about the 607 million rand in relation to those pages that are highlighted by all of the members. And also the issues of irregular expenditure and all that. I think if we talk to the issues of late submission of annual reports, that has been an issue that was raised by Honorable Gladden, by our entity. We all understand and know that PRASA has been having some challenges with the board, the establishment of the board and the correcting of the board. If the board does not correct, they will not meet and finalize the report so that it can be submitted. That has been in 2016-17 financial year. Now that has been corrected. It has been submitted. If you notice 2017-18 financial year, we are very encouraged that at least they are working together now, the board and the CEO and the management of PRASA, in making sure that we deal with the backlog that has happened in the last financial year. So we don't see moving forward now any lag in terms of the submission of the annual report by that entity in particular. So we will do the same and make sure that the other entities as well who are facing some challenges in terms of governance are also prioritized moving forward. As we reported earlier on in the report, the governance issues have been prioritized by the minister and us in the department. So we are very comfortable that we are turning the corner with the internal structure that we need to move forward in terms of this. So we want to say that the challenges that have been there are really being addressed as a problem, because more than 98% of our work is executed through our entities. So we need to prioritize that. Insofar as the governance structure is concerned, yes, for the first time we do now have under the governance council the oversight issues that are going to make sure that nothing between the department and the working of our entities are falling through the cracks, because we do have the governance structure now which is being headed by a equivalent of a DDG in the Department of Transport. That one is a step forward which we quite appreciate and is going to assist us a lot to make sure that we plug the gaps that have been happening between the department and the oversight issues of our 12 DDGs. Let me ask my colleagues therefore to also take some of the questions that have been asked, so that we can start with the CFO so that we get to the difficult questions of money issues. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. The first one is on the issue of the clean polish vessels, unqualified refinery. The minister was talking to the predetermined objectives which there is no material finding of identified on this one, and I think I indicated it is on slide 35. So we have a clean audit on the predetermined operations, and we have got an unqualified on the financial side. So there are two, and as I think that's the clarity. So unqualified with the findings on the financial side, and on the predetermined objective, there's no finding whatsoever. So that's the first information. Yes, that's there. The second part talks to what I want to add, the issue about targets and thinking. We have our own targets, as it were, and 32 of 35 of those have been achieved. And some of them have been linked to the entities. I think the understanding must be made that there are certain targets that we have set for ourselves, which we do come and present here, and out of those 32 have been achieved. And the linking, I think, the TG has talked to. Let's talk to the issue around transport of energy services. I think any department that has got big entities is a fiscal risk. Firstly, because we have about 60 billion of money that must be spent. So the fiscal risk comes there. So if, for instance, Prasa does not spend, there's a big amount that has not been spent. So that amounts to fiscal risk. Any people who are going to look at where that money has been spent or not, or the capital budget, the risk is bigger for the entities that are bigger. Therefore, that part of fiscal risk is a space becomes. And the other issues, of course, issues of governance. Where governance collapses, a lot of illegal expenditure will result, and therefore there's also the fiscal risk that people talk about. The under expenditure of 4.8 billion, I think we have dealt with for the committee, but just to highlight that issue. This committee told us that when people don't spend money, it was taken. And that's what exactly what we did. Money was not spent, and what we did, we shifted it to areas that you are going to see it in the financial year, because now we have even moved it out of the particular branch to find other priorities. And I think given the fiscal space that we find ourselves in, it's important that when money is not being spent, we can do that. But we do assist the entities in trying to ensure that they spend. Yes, the issue of vacancies will always lead to understanding those areas, and as the DG has already alluded to, we are moving on that. So the technical aspects on the finance, which is on page 326. In page 26 of the report, it says 54 cases of no-show related to previous current year, which we had declared fruitless and wasted expenditure. And the honorable member says we have not recovered any money. In fact, in the very same page, of this case, 59 cases amounting to 66 million are to be recovered. I want to link this to the 607. If you look at the 607, which is page 326, you'd see that note number 11.5, which is fruitless and wasted expenditure, says less amount recovered. We recovered 607. And this 607 was what was declared fruitless and wasted expenditure. If you look at the transfer from note 32, we took that fruitless and wasted expenditure, it went to the loss control committee. We then said that 607 needs to be recovered. So we then changed it into data, and we went and collected it. So if you look at that, that's it, all of it has been recovered. So we do recover it. That's it. I think the
issue of 337, there is very clearly 337 that is shown in the other page. On the issue of prior errors, yes, it does happen that in accounting when you capture things, sometimes someone captures 843 and 834. And when we find that, it's called a prior year error. We go back and come across with it and look at that. There was an issue as well about the, I think, 337 as well, which was talking to the opening balance. The open balance is the closing balance of the previous year. So that balance itself out, as it were. And I want to highlight as well that in the same page 26, you see that there is about 81,000 as well that has got to be recovered. So indeed, the department makes sure that in cases where there's fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we take it to the committee where people can explain how they get that fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we do recover those monies. So in most instances, those monies were recovered. Hope I've clarified all the other issues I'll give to my colleagues.
Thank you, Honorable Chairman, Honorable Ambassador, and Honorable Minister. Well, I think the other issues that I was tempted to go through the implementation plan of the tax rate cap program talks to exactly how we are going to implement the revised tax rate cap program. And that is the plan that we did in the last financial year. That is the plan that we had hoped to start implementing as of October. There are just internal procurement processes that we are finalizing. But talking to the tax rate cap itself, the biggest issue here is that we cannot and would not conclude on such a program without the involvement of the key stakeholders, and in this instance, the tax industry. So they have bought into the program. And we are going forward with the understanding that we are together. One of the critical issues in terms of affordability of new vehicles, that is not 77, it's currently, it is 92. Where based on the affordability of the vehicles, we are increasing that to 124. The affordability of newer vehicles. That's just so that we improve on the portion and to acquire the deposit to acquire new vehicles. But it should also be taken into consideration that the vehicles that we are collecting, some of them have never been bought for over 30,000-40,000 rand. So 134 is quite a meaningful contribution from government to assist in the spreading. And we would like to believe that we will enthuse the Texas to bring more vehicles for spreading so that we remove unsafe vehicles. But the new program has broadened the scope in terms of also accommodating better transport and accommodating cross-border vehicles. So anything that is unsafe on our roads, we will have to remove it. But it has also taken away the issue of cut-off date in terms of the vehicle that qualify for scrapping. So anything old and unsafe will be removed on the, on our roads. But also better is the issue related to inferior vehicles, which find themselves on the list of TRP compliant vehicles. So some of these vehicles that are in Syria, we find that they've been tested, they found to be durable, but they last long before 3 months. We are going to take them off of the list of taxing as we can compliant vehicles. Now, I think earlier on, just also to deal with this issue of tariffs. The issue raised was that you put targets that are achievable before the work that is achieved. But that's basically what the guideline session is. In the SMART principle, the aim is that you achieve it. So, and that is why we confine ourselves, and that is why we consistently over the years we've been getting opinion or findings that are saying that those targets are imminent as SMART. We've been struggling, if you look at that graph, we've been struggling with the targets that can, are not within our control, and we had to put them there. And over the years, we learned that the SMART means those that are within your control, or even if it's a process-related issue that needs to be approved somewhere, you put in the issues that are within your control so that you are able to then achieve. Now, whether it is an issue of linking that to performance, I think it's an issue of another sort, but I just wanted to indicate and clarify why we might not have been wrong to some issues that are within control in terms of achievability. I think we have dealt with the substantively the issue around the tertiary care, but fortunately the honorable member who asked me to not in the house.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the Minister. There's only one question that was raised, which I've taken this opportunity to respond to, that relates to the lack of transformation in the maritime transport recorded in this period. I would like just to state that the very achievement of the comprehensive maritime transport policy should be an indicator that from then on things are going to be different. I think we would like to put the committee at ease that indeed we are rolling out the implementation of the comprehensive maritime transport policy. And as we speak now, the department is finalizing the strategy implementing the comprehensive maritime transport policy for those elements that will require a strategic elaboration. But for those that do not require that, we are rolling them out. We are implementing some of the good results that you may have picked up in the media, particularly the procurement of 3 bunker barges by youth and women, is a reflection that the CITP is taking root and the climate conducive for transformation is now in place. So we can only expect progress in this current financial development report next year.
Right, Chairperson, the issue of unextended environment dealt with by the CFO, so I won't argue on the issue again. Just safe to say that the transfers to grass are done through an agency payment, which is Section 38 of the JP of the FMA. And clearly, that it is very clear that funding that is transferred must be spent for the extent of it, and then obviously allows the county authority to withdraw the funding or the funding is not set up.
Yes, thank you, Chair. The first part is the irregular expenditure and the prevention thereof. As part of our action plan, we have in place some more internal controls to do that. We have gone to the extent of putting what we call the pre-issue audit before we award anything, we all need to check whether everything has been complied with. And we think that in line with that, we should be able to prevent more irregular expenditure than we've seen over the financial year. The issue about liquidity issues of entities is that there are a couple of ones where it is difficult because they are not allowed to budget for the deficit. But there are some that are allowed to budget for the deficit. For instance, Prasa is allowed to budget for the deficit because it's scheduled. And that creates a problem of liquidity. That's one. But in the main, the one that others that have suffered liquidity, we have tried to put in place measures to ensure that people comply with their budgetary provisions that they have every year. However, we know the story of Samral and Jiffy. Because of the non-payment of the e-tolls, we have had issues of liquidity in Samral that we need to deal with. The other entity that we have, although it's not part of our budget, but it's funded through this fuel levy, is the Road Accident Fund, which obviously is a claim that always been above the money they receive, so the actual deficit is quite high, and consequently the liquidity issue. So we do manage this on a quarterly basis, and in cases where we find that there is indications that the liquidity is drying up, we do intervene in those cases. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. We will wait for your guidance going forward. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Minister and the team, led by the acting Director General. Chair, we welcome the presentation, but safe to say that I've had many things that have been presented before. It's still the same story that we had. I don't see a major shift in what we have had in the previous time when we did the presentation. And I think we are in a mood now that we want to hear new things or progress in what has been done so far. And I think this is the outcry that we are raising as a committee. Most of the presentations, even with the previous ones yesterday, there was that same concern. I think maybe even the pace maybe are moving. It's flat. And I think even to put more petrol so that we move with speed, because I think we are in a time now where we have to do things that are going to address the challenges that we are facing in the country. On a lighter note, Makabaka, when you were talking now, I heard that you say, hey, we are dealing with tigers that we did not put there. Maybe my mind is tired, tigers. But later on then I heard that, no, you're talking about targets. It's the target we put there. So, but even if it was tiger, it's okay because if you did not put those tigers there, so you can't be with them. So, this is the only lighter note. Chair, on a serious note, I just want to support the initial proposal of the Honorable Sibanye. And he is also raised that aim. I think going forward, my group will not to dwell much on the content, the merits and the merits of the presentation, but saying that we may need to have a system or a pattern that we follow when we are going to have this kind of presentation. What Honorable Sivan said, would say that it was going to be better to have a presentation of Auditor General first before we hear the presentation of the department and entity. Because why he was raising that, which I also support, we just get a sense that it's charged. The picture that was painted by the AG is not the picture that you are painting in the department. It's a totally different picture. I don't know when you present something, sometimes you become biased and the same thing that Misha used to say through the rose colored glasses. We have mentioned quite a number of things, that there is an improvement, things are moving to the right direction, but the AG did not paint that picture. The picture that was painted about the department, about the agency, was very good. Now then, I think the problem that is that there is a disjunction. We should always say who's pulling who. Now, I think I would support that arrangement going forward. Let's get the AG first presenting, painting the picture about, and then when you come, and then we mirror what is being discussed. And maybe it would be better when the AG is presenting, the department is present, all the entities, even if maybe we don't have the full complement. Made of the team, because maybe we might need a bigger room and a bigger, you know, arrangement in terms of logistics. But I think it would be better to be in the same room and engage, because it's unfair. You don't know what they presented. You are presenting another thing. So now we have to sit here and be like judges and say, no. That the one that we had was correct, this one is not. So, Chair, that's my proposal. Let's say maybe going forward, let's try that kind of arrangement. So that we will then be able to address issues as they appear on the same roof together, so that we engage and then agree to disagree on particular issues. But also, what we are also picking up is a disjunction between what is presented by entities individually and what the department is presenting. What was presented by PASA yesterday? They were just presenting their own things, you know, which is actually not really talking to what you are presenting today. And again, I think we need to find that common, you know, working together and making sure that we operate, because I think I understand that now we are operating in silos. And the silos arrangement does not help, because we are not competing with each other, but we are complementing each other. And I would really propose that we need to find the time together where we just have a day together in one room, and the president, the minister is there, and they just be honest to each other and talk about the things that we want to do. Because it puts us in a very difficult position now to hear different pieces of presentation, but you then get a sense that there is a challenge in terms of finish. There is no finish. Yeah. The other issue that I want to raise also, I am not happy with this modus operandi of a department operating like a post office, because that's what you are determining currently. The current arrangement is operating like a post office. It gets the money and then it just channels the money to entities, to provinces. And then you have to oversee it. those. But I don't think that arrangement is working very well, because what we see happening, we were dealing with the issues of reactive. And you find that there's so much understanding. Most of the municipalities there. And when you ask the department why, then it's happening. Even in our municipality, we also do prepare. There's a lot of understanding in the process. But now you ask me that, what is the role of the department to make sure that money is spent for the project that it is intended to? So I don't know how maybe the framework that all the departments are making, but it needs to be maybe a system that is not working, that is problematic, or it's because again you are working also in private. So I'm already asking the chairperson. The department must definitely play its role in monitoring role over entities and performance, because I don't think that the department is doing that in the manner it's supposed to be doing it. And I think even the chair was lamenting the same issue yesterday. So she also used the term that the department is disengaging. You know, just allude there, and then the money has been given to entities and provinces, and then they must see how they do the way they use the money. So I don't think that is going to work out. That's a very close working relationship between the department and the entity. And the department really do its job can I be protected from your press? And we must protect the Ramasaran from himself. Chair, only I can do this, my colleagues. The only two guys. So we are really requesting that let's have that working relationship and maybe improve on it. I heard the SMC say that they are doing that, the meat and all of it, but maybe it's not working very well. So we need maybe to develop an academy to improve. So that they will be finished. Chair, the other question is that I did not hear. How far have you gone with reducing the use of consultants in the department? Because that was another issue that it was a problem. So how far would you like to, although we know you cannot actually do away with consultants, you cannot say that. But we were concerned that they were overused. Maybe because of the active scenario that is presenting in the department. The other issue said before the last one, this month is in October, is the transport month. I just want to check, are there programs or events that the department and its entities have planned to reflect that indeed we are in the transport month? Can we build it? I don't want this thing to reveal how old I am, but there was a song that I liked. It was sung by Peter Frantic. Can you build it? And please, can we build it that we are in the month of October? Maybe you do have it, but can we just feel that we are. And last year, this one I will raise very interesting. Can we have your quick win or low hanging fruit plan in the spirit of the new dawn and the spirit of Tumor? And maybe if we can have that plan, maybe we have it maybe towards the end of the month. And maybe I think it would be a good idea that the minister and the chairperson unveil that and launch the plan.
that is going to say now there is something that is happening on the ground, and we can seem to be actually, you know, driving this spirit that the president is driving, that we are all too much, and we all want to be too much, and we are doing that. And I don't think you need a lot of budget. You can reallocate budget as long as you are doing it within the parameters of the law. And then identify those small things that will be going to the communities in the area, and then people see that they indeed the department is doing something to make sure that the people on the ground they have something to check.
Can you respond while the Honorable Minister is organizing the press? Okay.
Well, Chair, thank you very much. I was caught by the class. I thought there was to be a response before I asked my question, but I was brief this time. But when I want to start, the Minister will recognize your presence. When I want to start at PGG is on the, I think, the 10th presentation, but where I want to start, I want to start with the performance section of your presentation. You know, the one thing that I think on page 17, for purpose of reference. The one thing that this is almost the last year for another election. But if you look at, particularly when we're dealing with the transformation of the taxi industry, it's one of the areas that continuing as before, even though the department is a custodian of the NTT report, which is an old report, heartbreaking D.D. Matabatwane's decision, at least to say the least. Is one area where we can clearly see that we have failed. But instead of saying we failed, we say we are reviewing and have a policy or something else on the table. This policy has been in the making, and we continuously said we want to engage with it so that we also understand whether this is going to achieve the objective in which the project was designed. Said to say, we were almost at the end of the term. And before the last election, there was this engagement with the taxi industry. Are you going to solve our problem this time around? Then the answer was yes. Yes. We want to solve this thing that has been outstanding. I'm just trying to think ahead. What are we going to say when we report that as to whether we've been able to solve those things? One of them is this issue about the integration which benefits them, like the buses are benefiting. Even the issue about forcing the formation of this, what you call, like, I think Minister of Nigeria said, cooperatives. Taxi cooperative with a funding that goes to cooperatives. Not so much the individual, but forcing those associations and bodies to form cooperative
and moving into the whole venue that is contained there, retail, petrol station, and. I'm reading on the framework of implementing the standard, and I was looking at the previous year, the report of the 1617. The wording is identical. And I asked if this is what we do. I mean, another blunt question is, simple blunt question is, FNDG, are you up to task? Because when the policy is there, and the people who understand and intend to follow the policy, it finds out you as the people who have the particular scheme. You're supposed to apply how this scheme ought to be implemented this way and that way. So, I am wondering if whether and I know there's been debate about the extent, how much. I mean, there's been debate about yesterday, a group CEO of Pastor where there is a problem with the rail. There is an interchangeability of people using the bus without being expected to pay because they have a ticket. And I was saying, but where does it happen? Which place? Because at least when it came and it doesn't happen. You can have a weekly ticket if there's a problem with the rail. You can't interchangeably show your ticket to Golden Arrow and then just take a ride. You have to pay another money. You must pay for that ticket, that's the reason. There's been a lot of debate, and the debate that suggested that you need to move into what you call the integrated ticket system, where that interchangeability of modes. By the way, the tax department policy is modeled around Curitiba. And the Curitiba has been, for years, been using those kind of models. Using bus. I mean, they move from taxis into bus, from hundreds of taxis into bus, and we call it Curitiba. So I'm just asking this question that when I look at this taxi industry, modernization, or whatever you call it, it continues to be a changing of the term that we move on. I mean, when are we going to see a simple picture with you? I know the company, I think there was a lot of taxi industry for the corporate area, and that's the world benefit. So that's my mind that I just want to hear the FDG, the kind of your intervention here. How are we going to see this being implemented before the 10th end? Because if the 10th end is March, and we go to the election, obviously, it's going to be the next step. So our legislative report on the taxi industry, first, is that we have developed it, the changes have been developed in to take it to the ESCO, and the ESCO has also approved. Why is it that the internal operation of the ESCO could delay the implementation of programs like this? I ask. I don't know. There will be a lot of intricacies, but I don't know. But that's my. Let me move to the next. The next one. what the next one I wanted to talk about maritime. And I really that involved here as well. And I know the acting DGS immediately said this is one of the areas that is less transformed. It's very hard. And I went to look at the report, what you say in the report. What is that we could, I mean, there is a currently minister, the whole area that deals with the if voluntary action toward transformation doesn't happen, we use policy to transform it. In this case, there is a policy. To what extent that that policy move from being a policy to enforceable action? The whole thing about the flagging, but not only flagging, I'm talking about flagging of ships, and I'm not talking about that. At what point are we breaking through policy that the transformation of the maritime has to include those who are previously not in participants in that? And I mean, we could ask maybe Ms. Bantuli in the work, just to give us a bit of a step, to look at the step about who is who in this particular agency. And let's look at whether the Black South Africans have been able to break through that. And if not, this policy, how we use the policy to bring through. I mean, it's not going to be A9, it's not going to happen unless there is a commitment for it to happen. And I'm sorry, maybe I did the wrong way when I asked this, whether you asked the task. But I know you are educated, and I know you can do it. But I ask, why are you doing it? Let me go to the entity question, and then I will leave it. The transferring authority has a responsibility in terms of leadership. It shows that where they transfer the money, there's a capacity to do what they said they would do. But indeed, when you started, you made it lighthearted when you say acting. So you're going on the left from the top down, acting this one. This has also been another support for us in terms of the acting. Understand the DG post is there, but other posts, acting, an ability to make decisions, those can work together. So my point I want to ask, we're dealing with the CRASA, and we know that the Patricia representative CRASA. And the GDG is fairly prudent, highly skilled, knows what happened here in Iraq. But things quite doesn't go as they're supposed to go, under the watch, so to speak. Why is it so? Do you think it is the barriers are in relation to the law, the work under Company Act? I don't agree with that. Maybe that's the first thing you say, we are not supposed to interfere. We must allow this to happen. But if you sit in the board, there's a full member of the board representing a shareholder who by and large is the owner of that agency. Your board is very powerful. Why is it that things are not Jerry. I did say this speaks to that. If you look at the entities, and I think this question has been asked, there's a left, moving, supposed to be moving forward. On one hand, they're going backward in terms of what the energy takes as yellow or takes as green. Are you not aware that things are not going well when you sit in those meetings? And at what point are you able to intervene for capacity there in those entities? Or even without the third part, even without some money for certain things to happen before certain things happen? Now, obviously, the department cannot do only detail the Asia report in terms of the half of the agencies where India said they were on the green, they were looking to the number of them. I don't know what it is. There's a number of them, you know them. And some that has received a qualified audit, and the previous year they continues to be qualified. And the turnaround, this word turnaround is no longer having the meaning of anything that changed soon. But Papa had another quote, they were quite a different word than going from the turnaround. Use a different term. All I'm saying I know I'm standing in your position. I mean, I looked at financial performance in the leadership and governance. And if you look at the governance, governance is the problem. Salary is the problem. And this is something that has to be addressed. The leadership is a big improvement in terms of leadership, but it has the 20% yellow that is spoken about. The problem, there is also a problem in terms of what you internal audit meeting, but problem of assurance, the major one is on the senior management in terms of the aging. Now the senior management is the whole top three in the department as well as in the SOEs, but that already there's a red flag. From yellow, that red that is coming. Can we somehow get some reassurance? The reassurance that maybe there will be a general plan that will be presented at some point within this year, sometimes we say within 90 days, we will present some kind of saying we are going to shake thing. Yesterday we said to the pastor, well, do they don't want to wear whatever on? The board can't come here and say some people are staying at home, they are working work. Anyone that works with work is the business themselves from work. Simple. It's ABC. So can we, and I want to use a simple proposal, the turnaround, because you see, you're not going to be able to create the way. If you yourself remain with this yellow, with the department, why do you have this? I know that the CFO will say that FEMA will be as a problem, this one is a problem. But at what point are you going to move from anything with a better right of these orders, even if the fed is ordered? The report. of the agencies under the law. It's a capacity issue. It is the issue of people not having to build the post from the advice to the post to the SP, not able to build it. The coalition takes time. The last time the resolution I drew was Minister of Cabinet. It said that the shortage of time frame to employ senior ministers from the year to something like 6 months. It's December now. There's not even a presentation about anyone, about the AED story, about what we're going to do with the services. We're now going to implement and appoint them to the vacancies. Well, I don't want to continue to go on, but all I am expressing to you effectively is the simple frustration. And I didn't say that. And I know that there's a Ministry of Government, but the transferring agency has a lot to say. And the forced integration of, we tried to bring that in the, when we amended the Act, because of one problem that was in the Act here, in the National Transport Act. The issue about integration, which doesn't happen. Instead of happening, is the elbow out of those who are taxi operators when the time of Noah comes. So I know that there's an MOU that was agreed with the various other municipalities, but it remains a fact. I ask the question, what is it that must be done around that? That's why we amended somehow to make you the key. But unless we drive the program aggressively from the top, this one is happening in the taxi industry. It's not called the storm. And what is happening, we are going to be building an army against us. So those who are going to be the illegal in the process of what are BRT, but BRT's interpretation seems to be open Texas, when our interpretation of BRT is integrated public transport, which means those pockets, those feeder system has to be built in by force, because otherwise it's not going to happen. Maybe going forward, we did ask for this workshop, there was going to be this last workshop on the policy, the new taxi retail policy. I can't remember when we were supposed to have it. It was promised that the one doesn't happen. Oh. I'm subject to correction, sir. If I said not, I'm subject to correction. But the point I'm saying, the last time we were going to go to cabinet, we were going to come back and have it. I haven't seen the dog. Maybe submitted the service of the commission has it. What is on the policy is not some slide presentation. He talks engagement with a narrative of the policy to understand the detail. Maybe, and I'm subject to correction, I'm ready to apologize if we have a document, but I haven't seen the other members who have some message.
Thank you. The minister is just about to leave. But I want the minister to leave before he speaks. Let me just indicate to you that 2015-16, 2016-17, the committee raised this matter as raised by the AG, and I want to read what the committee said. The committee noted with concern that the AG found that in a review of the past 3 years in audit outcomes, there has been regression in the areas of reliable performance reporting in the department. The annual performance plans of RASA, RSR, SAMHSA and SATRA also contain targets that are not specific, targets that are not time-bound and verifiable. Achievement report by PRASA, RSR, ASTIA and SAMHSA were either incorrect or not supported by appropriate sufficient evidence to confirm the accuracy and the reliability thereof. And the committee is of the view that this must be addressed by the department through oversight over all the entities, which actually was really crying even now, Minister. That is food for thought that we will take with. Let me give the Minister to talk before we continue with our program.
Of I say is a disjunction between the entities and the department. It's a complex issue, because on the one hand, there's a very good point in what you are making. We have to judge ourselves, amongst other things, by how our entities are. But at the same time, we can't completely to the performance of the entity, because we might then lose sight of some of the work that is being done by the particular component of the interim department ourselves. But it's an important issue that we need to grapple with. Now, all of that, I think, for me, the most important thing is how do we improve oversight over our entity. I think I've raised it in the portfolio committee before, but it should not be read as a rationalization for not doing our work. The structure of our government at the moment, one downside of it is that entities tend to be stronger and much better so than department. Generally, that is such that in some instances it's not important to realize that sometimes some of the departmental officials are literally controlled by one person. So the issue of strengthening oversight is very important. It's not only oversight, but also is to ensure that all our officials act in a manner that is have been compromised by entities. It's a big issue that I think part of government for me must also include that. If it doesn't include that, we are in trouble. Now, one of the things which I said in my budget book, which I really want to achieve, other members are raising, right? What is done in our election and what's going on. Of course, some of these things, I may establish them now, but they are in fact may not be realized now. But the objective is important. Like to begin to lay a basis for establishing transport innovation. By the way, unless we embrace technology in a very serious way, we are not going to see progress. So, for purposes of fully embracing technology for transport, that's what I intend to do, as well as bringing together a panel of experts who can actually act and critique, if you like, and contribute to the perspectives of the department. We have, by the way, submitted a green transport strategy approved by government, which is a very important matter, one of the things that we've got to implement. Now, the issue of level of transformation in the maritime sector, and I would add the aviation sector, is that not in the other sectors of the world. But they are much better in terms of transformation as compared to the two. I've been concerned about this, and I've engaged the officials in the department saying, you know, so how am I going to lament myself and say, who's supposed to be championing this? Of course, transformation is not championed from one center. But at least as a department, one of the things we must do is to champion this transformation in the maritime sector and the aviation sector. If there's one thing I am committed to do, is that how do I play my role in ensuring that the Department of Transport is able to actually champion change. One of the think what there's a hope to do before the end of the year is if Athens could bring a comprehensive maritime transport engagement for stakeholders. I mean, since the matter one group who are engaged themselves, your key industry players, who are they, what do they think about the issue of transformation? Your aspirant of vocation entrance into the sector, what are their views, what are the obstacles, what is it that needs to be done? We hope DTG Maritime will ensure that we bring the portfolio committee and entrance into closer in with initiatives. So that we are able to do part, but also to play a role of close oversight. And not only to keep the portfolio shortlisting for DTG within the next week or two. My goal is that by the time the cabinet cycle ends this year, I should have appointed all the DTG. Hopefully. If I need maybe one, but I intend to be all those posts by the end of at least the DTG. So that because also it's not wise to let one person act forever. You start creating expectations, but it's something that changing also has its own negative effect on it. That's what I'm committing myself to do. We're not, by the way, advertising most SMDG, if I'm not mistaken, of your FMS. Chief Director, apart from the leadership, but Chief Director and Director. They are all advertised. We are now in the process of doing shortlisting, appointing, you know, selection committees, so that we also speed up, so that there is at least some that is on the score. I also would like to bring a meeting of all our entities. I have done that. All the transport entities, at least just as soon as the three boats, and I want to prepare to sit down. One of the things I would like to do at the meeting is to bring them together, even if we just ask them two questions. One, how are you going to contribute to the resolution of the job summit? The transport entities. And secondly, what role are you going to play in terms of attracting investment in the wake of the investment summit that is going to be taking place? And of course there are cross-cutting issues that is very important for the entity to be able to take up. Issue of skills development and a number of other matters. When we do that, SMDG, we should invite a number of the portfolio committees. At a very little chapter to be classified as to be I do agree with you, Honorable. I was part of what I was saying, and I was part of what one of the things I was saying. The issue of public transport, which is our end now, our report shows that quite a number of things have been done, including on the registration of firms like National Land. Amen.
They have realized the big potential that is there.
But what can we do? Instead, what is likely to happen is that the taxi industry is going to be occupied by other forces, and those forces will co-opt the taxi industry. And they will still continue, therefore, to be playing a role as subsidiary, rather than as primary and principal driver. I understand all our structure. Partly just my observation and partly also trying to engage with what the members of the Portfolio Commission is saying. If I have not said anything, we still have some more time together to be able to actually engage. On my side, as a gentleman, as I say, I personally always find the comments of the Portfolio Commission members very useful. To me, it's more than just oversight. But you also pick up ideas that we hope would actually be helpful. And we will serious. Oh, by the way, the last thing which I must say. Let's see. If our government says, for instance, an officer, I think one of the things we must consider is that if it seems like here for our own department, the Auditor General's report must be studied very closely. And each and every word and sentence where it says we have to improve, we must address that. Sometimes I notice you can abandon and forget about many other things, but if you can just focus on correcting what the AGS said, that in itself takes us onto a higher pedestal in terms of what we are doing. And I know that one of it still remains one of the weaknesses across government. Which is why I'm pleased at least that Parliament is now looking at giving the Auditor General some teeth. So that the AG doesn't just produce this report and then we continue to ignore it as if nothing has happened. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister. You missed and thanks for sharing the information with us. I want to also put my issues so that you answer everything one to one. I've already indicated that for the past 3 years we have been declining the second things which are not included, which are currently have been initiated even today by the AG. That's, I'll say two things because the tax recap has been spoken to. I will not talk to the tax recap. But I want to say the VRT issues are a concern. And I think in the previous thing we said that you need to look into the 13 cities and if need be that policy gets changed and we are able to look into something better. Because our belief is that you can be able to do some better things. Go into even the rural areas where they need the transport the most. And I am of the opinion that that thing is kind of doable if we are able to reorganize ourselves with the intermediate transport issues. Because when you look at, they have spoken about Kusunduzi and talk about Kurukwan. Yet the Kurukwan will never fly. Will never fly. You still have problems. I also would like to talk to the road maintenance. We are aware that most of the provinces are no longer where they do budgeting. They no longer budget for road maintenance. but it depends on the grant, the provincial, that is the national grant, which actually in many instances it's also not used in terms of the specs it was meant to use. And I don't want to talk about Stukutan. It's the essence of the past, of the presence of the past. I don't even want to go into that. Just that. But what becomes very important is that we need to be upbeat, because the road infrastructure in most of the provinces really needs much to be desired. And the more you don't maintain these roads, the more difficult it becomes that you can be able to have a mileage of having other new roads. But at the center is, I think, with the help of Sandra, which I know most municipalities do not want to get advice from, planning, execution, particularly technical, because in some municipalities you can see that I don't know how to say that thing. Yeah, it just color with black tar, but the actual content within 3 months, within 2 months, that black tar is off. So those are the things which one really has observed. And I wish I could have spoken while the minister was talking, but for the fact that he was in a rush, couldn't. Previously we spoke about Shosholoza Lane. That the budget that is allocated to Shosholoza Lane is minuscule, and therefore we need to re-look into the best ways of making sure that we revitalize the Shosholoza Lane and we get the budget that we need to assist the Shosholoza Lane, because I know that 3 years ago, Shosholoza Lane was an unfunded mining came into the department by default. And these are the things that we really have to look into. Because the minute you start working and making sure that you revitalize some of those things that used to go to the rural heartlands and travel long distances, you definitely will be able to go a long way. AG, when they were here, they spoke to the question of planning, acting, and once you have acted, you are able to check as to the impact, you are able to check as to are those things really value for money and what have you. And I can talk about a lot of observations that one has made across the board on the things which I can probably planning, I would say, AG says, it has regressed, and I would also agree with that. But even the actions that are happening in the department, we need to up the game, we really need to up the game. And I'm happy, because there's going to be a unit which will be able to focus on monitoring. And that is where we're losing it. That is just really where we're losing it, because the more you do things, the more you don't evaluate the impact and don't even monitor what challenges. Actually, I'm going to give it to you. There is tea outside, you just go pick up your cup and come back. There will not be anything. Who wants to speak? Let me give the two honorable members so that we can be able to change everything altogether.
start with an observation. In the introduction, there was an introduction of the Chief Operations Officer. And I see the Chief Operations Officer is not active. My understanding of the Chief Operations Officer is correct. I thought she would be active in this meeting. Secondly, Chair, my expectation was that the court would just start with the mandate, just to remind us, so that even as we reflect, we are always reminded of the mandate. And thirdly, I expected the court to show us the outcomes. For example, something we are talking about disciplinary process. One disciplinary process in the apartment will cause the official design. Some activity investigated. But we are not told what is the impact of that. What does the disciplinary process for the sake of it? What is the impact of that on the staff that is there? Because it's not processed, and then the meaning and then the intent on the staff that is in the organization. But we're not told what the again, the just to take it further with the chapter 7 that the DR Chief will require. I see the report, the safety chief, it will operate by January next. That shows to me that I doubt whether you even know what's happening. But related to that is that I'm not sure whether you have put standards on the construction of or the implementation of the IT. Because in Cape Town is a different standard, Johannesburg is a different standard, in Polokwane is a different standard. But this, the resources are coming from the same source. And then referring to Polokwane because I'm familiar with it, shows to me that the person or the department does not do oversight. As we are sitting here, you are supporting. We don't know what is happening. Maybe the desktop report, the telephonic report. There are areas where the budgeted items, the expenditure is zero in the report. And then the result is that it has been achieved 100%. Maybe we can get clarity from that. For example, on page 93, on page 60 also, page 62, with the budget, the offered rather is, but the expenditure is zero. Has been achieved. Maybe we can do that right. But last chair, which the minister touched on it a bit. Whatever we implement, what is the impact on the, because the purpose of whatever we're doing is service delivery. The minister for the interpretation say has changed. The objective is to change the lives of our people for the better. But there's no way where you're talking about outcomes or the impact. So that we see that the money they spend for money, the resources that Parliament is appropriating to yourselves, that the resources are able to change the lives of our people, the impact on service delivery. More so that it should be an election report. You agree? also that it should be a detention stop. But for the people, they will be running around claiming that we've done this or that, this or that. But there's no tent, because whatever we detect people, we should rely on this kind of performance.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. When you talk about the issue of crimes, you reminded me something. I want to remind the department once more. Remember about the project which was done by someone, which was, one of the biggest in the hemisphere, which is Ethercom in Cape Verde. We appreciate it. But the concern is that, do you still remember during our own oversight visit, we visited Northern Cape, and we thought that by this time, some of the areas which we visited, not in oversight or else, but Ethercom, to rectify the roads which we saw there in Northern Cape. West, you were there some view in Gauteng, in Tswan. Jefferson, you still remember the rain, those bridges and those roads which were destroyed by heavy rain. The department is quiet, and the provinces are quiet. Nobody is reporting those areas which our own visitors. So the concern is now, it is towards the end of the term. So the question, for how long does it take? For how long does it take for us to make sure that some of the areas which we west, which we visited? I don't understand when the fire are being told by other people, but ourselves, we visited. This was for the committee. And I think that so far nothing has happened. If you can tell us of what we have to do. Thank you.
Thank you, FDG and the team, if you can respond.
That in line with what the portfolio committee has said. I think that is what we wanted to say. On the tax recap issues, BRTs and all that and all that. So I think we need that kind of an approach where we have some workshop. And all of us under one roof. I think we appreciate that and we'll make sure that it does happen. On the issues of reliance on the grant, especially on the road grant, the maintenance grant, Chairperson, you are quite correct. We went to quite a number of provinces. What has been stated on them? They have to rely on this grant in such a manner that the provinces have stopped completely, and some completely stopped, to budget from their applicable share of the infrastructure. That is very disturbing, in fact, because there are serious conditionalities on the grant. You can't do the upgrades, you can't do these, and so that is why sometimes we find that provincial roads are addressing in terms of the country here, because that is where the challenge is. This is just for maintenance. You build a road and then you maintain it using this grant. You can't just build the road and upgrade using this grant. That's where the challenge is. We have been speaking to the to MINMET, several MINMET, in fact, to ask honorable MEPs to speak to their premier, the premier coordinating committee in province, to lift the item of roads as a priority so that provincial treasury can prioritize the funding of roads. We still have provinces who are religiously budgeting for these activities. One of the provinces that are doing very well is Cape Verde. And they got quite a significant budget put aside on the application share we just checked. We got Haldane also budgeting for their infrastructure from the equitable share and the Western Cape. So I think what we need to do therefore, we would like the portfolio committee to really, to assist us in this matter. We've been talking about this thing in MINMET and all that. We would like Parliament to enforce this thing. That it had to happen because roads are suffering, really are suffering. And we would really want the indulgence and the intervention by Parliament to the provincial expos to please really to make sure that this thing is being addressed. Otherwise, roads are really suffering because of this kind of practice. And we really would like that. And on the issues of work in the municipalities, the shoddy work that is being done at the municipal level, especially on the road infrastructure, I know that the chairperson as well as Honorable Zibane, they've been speaking about this for a number of years. That's what the arrogance is, you know, the tax. The MOU is very clear. Sandra in other areas has entered into the memorandum of understanding as to how they are going to be implemented. They do transfer to Sandra to maintain the arrows on their behalf without taking over the arrows into the additional asset. That is, in some other areas, is working very well. I've seen it in Khaldeen, it's happening. But in other areas, I remember Honorable Sivan was talking about Bitrigif and ML. And those roads that are going through the town. Those roads are, you find the road very nice, and it has been going to a point. Before the town, just immediately after the town, then it's a nice road again. But in town itself, it's heavily controlled. You can't even stop and park your vehicle. So these are the issues where we want the local sphere of government to please work together with us in terms of that. But we still believe that Parliament can make a serious ruling on that so that there is synergy, because they are kept here. You know, some will say, no, your PRMG, the provincial, don't come here, we've got our MIG kind of issues. I think that the Parliament can only rule on this so that if people are refusing to get the resources on that, we are very amenable to that. We can enter into this. Sandra is very much amenable to that. And other provincial governments are also working like that in terms of MOUs and agreements between the municipalities with capacity issues. So I really would like us to do that. We'll continue asking them and begging them to do this. But sometimes it's like we are getting into another of government, which is really not our our space. We can only do so much. We can't impose to them. It's a mutual agreement, so to say. I would like us to look at the... I know that the chairperson, Mr. Kabata, is back. We need to look into... I don't think he would be here. We will look at the chairperson's amendment because the chairperson, you have asked if we can look into the chairperson's amendment, revise it for future prospects. We will go back and look into this because there's some serious debate with National Treasury on this matter. Whether we find it or not, what are the spin-offs, capacity of it, and so forth and so on. So we'll go back, Chairperson, we won't give you the answers now. But we had you very well, we had the portfolio committee very well. Let's go back and do our task and work with our colleagues from National Trade to see whether really is a viable option to put the numbers there if it's that there. So we will do that, Chairperson. Let me copy that, we work on that. We'll give a report back to say we won't have it now because we still have to go back and work with our provincial, with our National Treasury on this matter. We've canvassed them for a long, long time. So, I heard that you wanted a certain structured approach on the presentation. I think we will do that in future so that, but we did highlight the NTP where we come from, the LTS and so forth and so forth. And also bring the heartbeat of economy. I think that's why we, sometimes we, when we come here, we think members of the committee, they know it, so we rush through it. But we will take sure that, I mean, in the next presentation, we will migrate from the mandate and all that, so that he does talk to your issues on our board. So we will do that. I think what the case is, of, I would like our acting group, just to do some highlights on the disciplinary processes, as well as looking into what is the impact that you have when the prolonged processes are in place, and when the cases are not completed on time, so that we can see what we can do. I will ask Francis to deal with that. Let me just conclude. She will also talk to the issues of bursary in terms of page 93, 60, and 62. Those are the issues of bursary. I think, let me say, lastly, on the issues of the Northern Cape and the Northwest road that was visited by the portfolio committee. I think, let me clarify this. There are roads that belong to the public. There are roads that are on the asset register of the national. And those are roads that are managed by the municipality. There are three levels here. If we do the site visits and we accompany the portfolio committee, we do our level best. The thing that's called the D5, which is a business plan for the province to implement 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 roads. We monitor them on that. If they don't put what the portfolio committee has seen, because this is what can get classified in any of a province. If they don't put it there, it's not a problem because they rely on the grant. They don't target for their meter share. Then it becomes a serious problem to force them to put this on the D5 for which we overpass, which we do the overpass on. It becomes a major problem. I think it's a matter of after highlighting to them. When they don't put it there, I remember this case where the chairperson and the portfolio committee, we went to this other side where between the border of Limpopo and Northwest, where roads were flood damaged some years back and nothing was done and the committees were cut. We went back and went with the province to prioritize them. And they agreed. But when they submitted the D5 form, they said no. It was prioritized by the authorities, so all the rest were not there. So that is where the challenge is. That's what the challenge is. But again, the way we fund these programs out in the provinces and in the municipalities, I think that is where we need to jack up our oversight role so that we can look into that. I don't want to say that, but I would like Matabasa to take us through some, but I would not like us to go back and defend and state of the dead entities. We are going to have, and also the secretary has, we are going to have a workshop together with the members of the portfolio, as the minister has directed, and also the chairperson of the portfolio committee. I think that is the commitment we are making. It's going to happen before the end of this term of office of the current administration. Thank you.
I'm not going to defend, I want to tell you Now, Chair, I don't know how much time do you have, because you can so much time in the workshop now, because we have got the answers. And this is what we're going to say. So when we are limited, this is the response. It looks like we don't have the answers.
The minister is not here. He would love to be part of the workshop.
No, I'm not cancelling the workshop. Just
saying
that.
I'm saying for now, because we want to have a workshop now. We've got time, but the minister is not here, so therefore we can't have the workshop.
Okay. So this is not the workshop, and let me just answer with the utmost of respect, Honorable Chair, the questions posed. Thank you. Chairperson, firstly I would like to just clarify one point. I think the Honorable Member said I agree about the workshop we held somewhere in the Israel. One before we went to cabinet. When we came to cabinet, we came to present what was approved by cabinet to the portfolio committee. Now we will have other workshops where maybe as we are beginning to implement. Now I want to go back to the issues of the National Tax Task Team recommendations that was approved in 1997. One of those issues was that there were three key recommendations. Formalization, regulation and formalization, training and development and economic empowerment of the industry. Now we have heard the issues about training and development have always been ongoing, but we've dealt with it many times. Two, the issue of regulation and formalization, that is when we formalize people into associations and work to some time. We developed with the NLTA, which we are now amending. Now that part is definitely. The issue of economic empowerment was then how do we then assist the tax industry economically and financially in terms of sustainability. One of them was that then we need to house and maintain some cargo, which we continue doing today. The other part was how do they then integrate the formal sector to mainstream formal public transport. Now, we look at how we can subsidize taxes. That was 1997-2000. Now, there came the issue of operational subsidy, how are we going and how we will do this on unscheduled services, trips that may not necessarily be completed, and so on. That's where the issue of the tax recap was born. That then was a come onto the site of the capital site of subsidy. Because in any way we will remove the unsafe vehicles and unloaded vehicles on the roads. That is just a bit of a balance in terms of whether necessary and the values of contributory and so on and so forth. Now fast forward, Chairman said, after some years after implementing necessary camp, we realized that there are challenges and problems with it. Firstly, the numbers of cases being brought was greatly went down. From the initial 11,000 per month in the early stages of the tax return to around 2,500 per year, to around 2,500. When we investigated what are the problems, the challenge was that one, as rightly said by Honorable Smiley, we gave these people 50,000 months, the tax was 120,000 months. It was close to 45% in relation to the price of the. Now, the vehicle's prices shot up to an extent that they are about 485,000 today. Now, within government were given increases of CPI. So the increase of government is not just by CPI, but then the equivalent amount of the CPI. It is not 7,078, it is at 92,000, but it's also because we went back to cabinet for cabinet intervention. So that is the challenge, but two is accessible accessibility, accessible finance by the operators. They are regarded as high risk. The banks don't want to give them loans because the nature of the business is cash-based. Majority don't bank. Number two, then you find other people coming into the middle as patches and then robbing these poor people to an extent of charging them up to 26% interest. Because they say they have to absorb the risk of having to go back to their money. But that is basically another reason for the textile industry. Now, what then is better than what produce and what is it that we are doing and we are going to do differently? I've tried to mention things in passing very fast. I'll try to pick some of them very slowly. One of the issues is that we said they don't need to go and block the highway or the freeway, saying that the banks don't give them financing. Who needs who? Who has the numbers yet? So the banks need the taxi investors from the taxi investors with the banks. And I want to believe that they have got sufficient numbers, that there was bargaining power, they can tip the economies of scale into their favor. Now we developed for them a cooperative strategy, we can make a quarter million for Tulu. We took them to Brazil to study co-ops in action. Those are the tests about 3 years ago. We came back with them. Part of the new recap strategy, recap program, it's also not a policy, it's a program. That's why perhaps probably it is not even come here in terms of our program processes. Now, the contract that is coming in, because the problem is continuing outbreak in a revised fashion, the contract, the new contract that is coming in, the terms of reference is that the partner, the technical cultural service provider, is supposed to not explore, but to leverage all of those things that have been mentioned in this meeting along the value chain. One, the primary issue is financing. How, whether you form a cooperative bank or a cooperative financial services provider, so that they no longer depend on the banks, who always decline them. You have dealt with that part of the problem. But two, these people have got numbers to the sense that they can have, they can even charge their members 1% interest and they'll still make profit. That's the first part. The second part is that they need to leverage on all the value chain issues. Retail installation, tires, batteries, spares, components, panel fitting, maintaining. When we were in Brazil with them, we even got to see those that have even grabbing, not grabbing, they have even, they are now manufacturing their own aircraft. That's a cooperative, they started as a small cooperative coming together, exactly small but becoming big. They know that they saw it, and the technical industry itself. And this is what we are saying. The new people who are coming in should be able to then make sure that they have it here. Those things in South Africa. That is the issue around the new technical recap approach. But one of the things I mentioned in the very first media on, to also ensure that they are bringing the vehicle for scraping. We have even increased, proposed, not proposed, approval from cabinet, to increase the scraping allowance from the current 90,000 to 124,000. So that is also on top of it. But two, yeah, I don't want to mention names, but indicated that there are these jackals that come in. They look very beautiful, but they are not durable. They last for 3 months. So I'm going to remove them from the list of our critical kind jackals. But this South African name, I don't know what they get. Now, all of those things need to be removed from the head so that you see the system once and for all. In 1 minute, so those are the things that are in the new territorial approach, which I said was supposed to have started on the 1st of October. We are finalizing, final procurement processes in the department to make sure that this thing happens. Now, in short, and we will wait for the workshop. Chapter 10, we are no longer members of the state institute. That is to remove that thing formally on the public transport process. But we'll explain everything in the workshop that the committee is talking about. We now want to take that money and buy buses to South Africa and make sure that we have buses on the road. Reduce drastically, if not at all, these issues of transportation. So that thing is in our plan. But also part of that is then to come up with a standardized industry transition mechanism so that it is uniform across the country on how they deal and discuss and negotiate with the taxi industry. You no longer have people who want money because it's quick money, 2 weeks down the line, it is finished, they can't bear the work and compete their case. Now, from the center, we'll come up with a blueprint in terms of how South Africa needs to deal with the industrial transition. Honorable Robert, the last year's slide on this thing, I think it's a template. Last year's slide was on slide 16. This year's slide is on slide 17. Now, there are a lot of examples that are saying, should I read them? Because I can read them out. Looking at them, there are different. Public transport is on slide 17 in this year, or on slide 16. There is no rural transport strategy that has been achieved this year. On the text recap, we spoke about the finalization of the report itself last year. This year, we talked about the implementation plan. We are already past that stage because we got it approved by the government. And the same improvement plans and other issues have been done. So I think offline, I will just come with the 2 slides just to show what has changed. Because the strategic objectives might look the same, but the activities have changed drastically. I've been looking, in fact, we had 2, 4, 5, let's just target 5, and they are not the same, even the plans that are there. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm looking forward. Now, this issue of the workshop, and our specific panel should be well documented, probably, just so that we are now close on this issue of the workshop, which is the workshop that we will all remember for years to come. Thank you.
That are not stated with regards to their service. actually, the whole short-term resource development strategy in the UN annual report, but it includes the SREs for employees, it includes the MOUs that are signed with the existing institutions with respect to the service that are given to students that are studying in those universities. And I really would like to respond by saying that those figures will be provided because indeed they are checked to the annual report, they are not stated. The second question was with respect to the disciplinary processes in the department. The processes that we are busy with now are those that flow from the previous financial year, which is the report before the committee now. The reason why those cases have been delayed, I don't even want to say I guess, I'm sure, is due to lack of capacity within the labor relations section within the department. There are only three people on the structure, and there was a stage where there was only one person, and that one person was an intern before. So he was at some point left alone when other people resigned. One left and one post was vacant. So that one person was servicing, being within a factor of other of 700 something, so which really was not possible for that one person to be able to process all the cases. And besides that, the person is at a very low level. He's not even an assistant director. He's someone beyond, below assistant director. So these cases that we are dealing with now are those that flow from the previous financial year. But I want to assure the committee now that we are dealing with those cases, and all of them have chairpersons, we have initiators, some who almost completed them were waiting for mitigation mitigation after we completed the disciplinary action. And also the member asked about the impact of the disciplinary process. And I want to believe that there are areas where the branches really suffer because of having those disciplinary processes, because you find that in a unit of about two people that are working in that particular unit, both of those people are undergoing the disciplinary process. So which means that it's not only the low morale of other people being afraid of doing anything because the other people are being disciplined, but nothing will be moving in that unit people are being but some of the grievances, because one member mentioned the issue of grievances. One grievance that I know of is not finalized yet. We are busy filing a review application. It was completed last week. It flows from the previous year, but it was completed last week. An award was issued, but we are busy filing the review. Which I think will be the case may be completed after the labor court has indicated to us. Another case is a very old case, which I don't believe that I should bore the members by reporting. It has been with the labor court for almost over a year now. We haven't had a date from the labor court. I just want to say to one of the members that in the department there hasn't been a process where people are sitting on precautionary suspension for long periods, especially for the previous year, except for recently where we have proposed someone on precautionary suspension. Thank you.
Are there
mentors
or let me indicate my character that my Honorable Rana Sakani has indicated. We want to see the policy document on tax recapitalization.
It's not sufficient that we have the PowerPoint presentation on, we don't have, I've checked with Valerie, we don't have the real policy document, and members would very much would like to have that policy document so that we acquaint ourselves as we're speaking as to what are the things that can and can't happen. But I want to lastly say that it is very important that members become kind of your mouthpiece. You can't be your mouthpiece when you don't have information. Because we go to our constituency offices, we meet with a whole plethora of different people on different aspects. I tell you that I was in Shishoku, and people were talking to me about issues that affect health. I have to engage and be able to know. Fortunately, when I was just going through the website of the National Department of Health, I was able to get the information. Even if you don't give it to us, put it on the website so that we can be able to read. And become a better mouthpiece, because I can't sum-suck. What you are telling us here in the workshop now are the things that taxi owners, taxi aspirants, taxi drivers would like to hear about as we're dealing with this thing. I think we have almost reached the end of our today's work. Much work needs to be done. I would say AG has indicated the regression on a number of areas, which actually we believe you are the task that we can be able to lift yourself out of those. If you look at the entities that have clearly regressed, we know that PRASA is give us this day our daily bread in terms of regret. We don't need to pray that. But if SAMHSA is now becoming the client, it definitely is a challenge we need to look into. But earlier on, when we were talking to the AG, we felt that it will be important that the shareholder representative in any of the entities, through COO and the government, should be able to have the finger on the pulse. Then we are able to make proper interventions as and when a need arises. We are seeing that repetition of certain things is basically according our thinking is due to the fact that shareholders is just sitting there, become part of the furniture in the particular board, and nothing gets done. We should be able to say, RAF, you have said in a meeting this month, when you have an executive meeting, you get the reports of all these entities and you look for interventions that can be made. That is how you can be able to keep these people on their toes. For the fact that the people sit in those committees and there is no intervention that is done by the shareholder, the board do as and when they please. However, yesterday, FTDG, you had a problem. There was no quick fix solutions on to some of the things. To just fix the cameras on the station doesn't mean December 2019. To say to the ADA security personnel, this is how you're going to be doing your work, working with the police, this is
how things are going to happen, things will be able to start to shape up. To just the basic little things really that can be done. And I can go into every entity and check that we were found wanting to say, where are you going to appoint the CFO in SAMHSA? I've got 5 letters of complaint about the acting CFO. And I've just looked at them, acting CEO of SAMHSA anyway. And I just look at them and say, but when people now have to write to me, when the shareholder representative who entered should be able to be dealing with these things, because they don't really need a rocket scientist. One is complaining that he has appointed friends and what have you, the other one is complaining about him going international every month and so forth and so forth. You know, you just listen to those things and you just get really surprised as to what exactly are the issues. And having said that, I'm imploring on the executive to say, be hands on with respect to the entity so that they can be able, should be able to have return on investment. Welcome to the end. This is about to be my closing, but we really appreciate it. And we believe that tomorrow we're meeting with RAF. Sparks are going to fly. We were all brutalized by going to the provinces to go into the road accident benefit scheme bill. The brutality that we got was not about the bill, but it was about how RAF treats our people who contend in this country. And we will never take it lying down as we will be dealing with them. It is October month. One of my colleagues here said, we don't feel it or feel it. It is here, October month. We don't feel it. We would want to feel it. We would want to start now, October month. Going into December, past December, into the Easter festivities, reduction of carnage on our road. What are the systems and the plans that we're putting in place, which actually you will beat the drums now, so that at the end of the Easter festivities, we say, we did it, it is working. We are reducing fatalities on the road. For as long as alive, I'm talking because I heard when I was in the Eastern Cape, they say alive. And I was alive, policy is not really. Why don't you change it? Why don't you look for something that will be able to yield fruits? Yielding fruits is reduction of vitality on the road. Arrive as a policy. I wouldn't even say it needs to be changed, but something needs to kick in, which will be able to save our people on the roads. Don't want to talk about Brasa. Don't want to talk about the taxi industry. We've spoken so much about them. But you've got what it takes to be able to revitalize. And I keep on repeating that it cannot be right that the president goes out and a new investor to come and invest. And you have a situation where freight will blockade the entry,
where the taxi associations will make sure that nobody goes to work and the trains are burning. That what is what the president is doing. In your Guadiana, we had a actual change. You're not able. If you didn't hear me, I said it. Continue. In your Guadiana, we had a actual change. And it can't be right. It definitely can't be right. He is working to make sure that in the end, you will tell people to work. Buy air, buy rain, buy road, so that our economy can grow, there can be jobs. And in the end, the impact of South African economy will impact on Africa. And it will also impact on the world. Thank you very much. The meeting is again for today.